KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:06, it's cloudy and 15 degrees in Atlantic with a wind chill of 3 degrees. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by Lindeman Tractor, offering you farm equipment that works as hard as you do. Our weather forecast calling for a winter weather advisory in effect for the entire listening area, beginning at noon today and lasting until noon on Thursday. We'll look for cloudy skies with a mixture of light snow, freezing drizzle, and sleet, eventually changing over to snow and a high around 25. In Southwest Iowa news, Red Oak police report four people were arrested Tuesday. At around 10:20 p.m., 29-year-old Mildred Helenora Douglas of Red Oak was arrested for public intoxication, third or subsequent offense, assault on a peace officer, and interference with official acts. She was taken into custody after authorities received a report of a possibly intoxicated female stumbling in the street in the 100 block of East Valley Street in Red Oak. When officers approached her, Douglas refused to comply with their orders and attempted to run. She was transported to the Montgomery County jail and held on a $2,000 bond. Montgomery County Sheriff's deputies assisted in handling the incident. At around 5:50 p.m. Tuesday, Red Oak police arrested 24-year-old Katie Renee Wright and 27-year-old Shelby Marie Williams, both of Red Oak, after officers were called to the 600 block of East Prospect Street for a reported physical assault in progress. Both women were placed under arrest for a simple assault. They were transported to the Montgomery County jail and held on $300 bond each. And at around 5:10 p.m. Tuesday, 35-year-old Ryan Adam Dalton of Red Oak was arrested following a reported disturbance in the 300 block of First Avenue. Dalton was charged with breach of peace and criminal mischief in the fifth degree. His bond was set at $300. The City Council in Atlantic will discuss the future of the Atlantic Senior Citizen Center during their meeting this evening at 5:30 at City Hall. As we've previously reported, the City's Personnel and Finance Committee had met January 23rd to try and answer two questions. Is the City interested in selling the building located immediately south of City Hall? And if so, should consideration be given to the Elks organization, which has expressed interest in purchasing the building as is? One of the options the committee discussed was to sell the building with protections given to the seniors group so they would not be kicked out. The other was opposing the sale outright. Now, the Elks have offered to buy the senior center and make the necessary repairs to the roof and share the facility with the senior citizens during the day, as is currently the case. The fair market value of the building, as is, would be anywhere from $59,000 to $63,000. If the city pays for the roof repair, that would up the value to between $86,000 and $88,000, according to a realtor. The roof has been leaking since last August and must be replaced, that is. The cost of that project was estimated at $36,255. In addition to the roof factor, the city receives about $2,000 per year in revenue from the senior center. Operating costs, though, range from $4,244 to $4,323. Officials say payback on the roof is not mathematically feasible from ongoing revenues. The fund balance for the senior center at the fund of the end of fiscal year 2018 was just over $11,000. The city admits the building has not been a high priority on physical updates, and while the structure itself is solid, minus the roof issue, it could use additional investment. City Administrator John Lund said at the committee meeting in January the city could retain ownership of the building and pay for the roof repair if the city council activates a tax levy amounting to 13.5 cents per $1,000 valuation. Accordingly, the city would lower the employee benefits levy by the same amount. Those funds, $30,000, combined with the remaining balance of the Senior Center Fund, would allow the roof to be repaired. And the council could allow the Elks to use the facility without charge in the evenings. It would no longer be rented out for other purposes. The option would still allow the senior center to be used from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. daily. And some benefits of selling the building, if the council decides to do so, according to Lund, is that it would be brought onto the tax rolls. The city will receive compensation for the disposal of real estate. And the Elks have time to get approval from their hierarchy for the purchase. In other business, the Atlantic City Council will receive a presentation from John Lund with regard to the fiscal year 2020 budget and 10-year capital improvement plan. The proposed budget for FY 2020 is $16,520,747, which is a decrease of nearly $130,000 from the FY 2019 revised estimate of $16,650,135. Lund is expected to tell the council tonight that the city's combined property tax levy remains unchanged. The overall budget accomplishes key priorities of the mayor and council. However, it has resulted in a deficit in key funds that will require stricter fiscal policy in the following year's budget in order to avoid a trend of deficit spending. And he will say that the city is now budgeting any excess cash growth beyond required minimum towards inevitable liabilities in specialized funds, moving them away from operating budgets and also to minimize future debt assumptions. The budget says also there will be no increases for existing fees and utility rates will remain unchanged. Lund concludes that saying altogether the fiscal year 2020 budget establishes a solid plan for the next decade of life in Atlantic. It positions the community to capitalize on its strengths, addresses its challenges, and continues to build a community that is welcoming to families and business. In the funeral announcements, Alan Jewell, Al Hansen, age 66 of Ankeny and formerly of Exira, died January 31st. A massive Christian burial for Al Hansen will be today at 10:30 at Our Lady's Immaculate Heart Catholic Church in Ankeny, with Ankeny Funeral Home in charge of arrangements. Robert Lee Anderson, age 93 of Des Moines and formerly of Exira, died Thursday at the VA Healthcare Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Robert Lee Anderson will be held Friday at 10 a.m. at the Staves Methodist Church in Des Moines. Ankeny Funeral Home has the arrangements. Lois Berg, age 80, of Bridgewater, died Saturday in Creston. Funeral services for Lois Berg will be this Friday at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Messina, with a luncheon to follow. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Rex Meerhoff, age 63, of Anita, died Saturday in Des Moines. Memorial services for Rex Meerhoff will be held Friday at 11 o'clock at the Cam High School in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care of Atlantic has the arrangements. Rosemary Hahn, age 88, of Erling, died Friday in Harlan. A massive Christian burial for Rosemary Hahn will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Donald Staver, age 87, of Panora, died Friday. Memorial services for Donald Staver will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at St. Cecilia Catholic Church in Panora. Twig Funeral Home in Panora has arrangements. Grace Lindemann Rathkamp, age 94, formerly of Griswold, died Friday in Kansas City. Funeral services for Grace Rathkamp will be on Saturday at 11:30 at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. Brian Barney Bayer, a buyer, age 61, of Audubon, died January 17th. A celebration of life memorial service for Barney Bayer will be held on Sunday from 1 until 4 p.m. at St. Patrick's Parish Center in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And Marjorie Hansen, age 85, of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Home. A celebration of life for Marjorie Hansen will be held on Monday at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. The news was brought to you by Lindemann Tractor. Lindemann Tractor is good news for your blues. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.